Are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Have you been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or even an adult movie? Well, here's the offer for you that you won't be able to refuse. Go to adamandeve.com. For a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any one item. You'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration, plus a free extra gift so sensual we can't mention on the radio. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Type in Just Us Girls using the code USGIRLS at adamandeve.com. Again, offer code USGIRLS at adamandeve.com. See you there.
You are now listening to Between Us Girls, the podcast, where we discuss life's fuckeries and then some over wine.
Michelle,
Danielle,
and this is
Between Us Girls.
And tonight we do have a guest. We have Smitty Spread Love with us. And as soon as we get done talking about what we're sipping on and our positivity, we're gonna let him talk. Danielle, get the floor.
Okay, my bad. I was on my page on our Instagram trying to share something. I don't know what I was trying to do.
Just as long as you gave effort. You know what I'm saying? I think you can bring people on. Like, I would have to go up there and allow y'all to. Or, Daniel, you can log in and let it.
So,
the beauty of logging in on Subway.
I know, right? So, this week's positivity is compliment yourself daily so when it comes from someone else, it won't sound foreign. And the reason why I put that out, it was because of something that I read in our book this month, Whole Tactics. By G.L. Lambert. Whole Tactics. But, so he was basically talking about how this book is not for simple-minded, insecure bitches.
Oh.
And, like, you really have to build yourself up to get to the level to where you can actually read and accept this book. Because a lot of the stuff that he's talking about is about having confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
And people that don't have confidence in themselves, they're going to fall flat, you know, trying to take on some of the rules or whatever that he's, you know, trying
a
to
brave
get you,
undertaking.
You're going to fail. Like, you'll be designed to fail. And one of the things that he was talking about is, you know, how you got to build your own self up.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, looking in the mirror and saying, you know what? I am a bad bitch. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck what anybody else say. Or whatever, like, I'm pretty. I like this arm roll right here.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
Mine.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's like whatever it is that you need to tell yourself, compliment yourself, and find the things that other people may say that you might necessarily believe. Like, start to really look and say, you know, oh, I see what they see. I do have beautiful eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I do have a really nice smile. Or whatever like that. Like, you need to tell yourself that over and over. So when it comes to someone else, if somebody else tells you that and you're at that basic level, then you're gonna fall for this nigga.
Yeah.
And he gotta tell you whatever it is he need to tell you in order to get in your pants, and then bam, he out the door. You know, so it's basically a way to build up your defenses. Okay. Whole tactics.
I like it.
That's creative.
It really is. And what I think about it is, it stands out because people want to look at hoes like, you know, they're bad or No, they're the ones that are getting money because they're separating themselves from all those extra emotions and going after the actual target.
They're focused.
Yeah.
And they know what it is that they want, which is like you're like 90% ahead of the game when you know what it is that you want.
Right.
Because a lot of people, they have no clue. Mm-hmm. Right. So one, you know what it is that you want. Two, you're not afraid to ask for it, mm-hmm. demand it, and say, you know what, hey, I'm good enough for this.
Right.
So, like, you're ahead of the game just saying that. And that's kind of what the book, what he's talking about when he says hoes. Like, that's the type of woman that he's talking about. Not a person that, you know, just spreads her legs easily. Right. Yeah. And he actually said that if you're thinking that you're going to use this stuff, like, use your body, like, this is not even for you right here. Like, this is a mental game.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I like that. I think for a lot of people, that's the part that they kind of don't. I guess even when they're taking on anything, if they don't already say, I know I can do it.
Right.
Or I know I have the ability to do it. Now let me look at, you know, what it takes. If they don't have just the baseline, then yeah. Don't even try. So that was a great piece of positivity, Danielle. Thank you.
I know,
so
right? I was great, right?
You were. Amazing. You was. I was like, Danielle got already got hoes hacked. She'd be like, I'm sorry, live with somebody. So what are we sipping on? This looks interesting.
So this is a gift from our guest.
Thank you.
It is Liquid Popsicle. Oh, well, it's by Liquid Popsicle, right? That's the name of this company?
I feel like it's called Liquid.
Yeah, I think it's called.
The name is Liquid Popsicle Sweet Red Run by Popsicle Wine.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is a sweet red, like I said. Mm-hmm. It is 13% alcohol. And, of course, we don't have a vintage because it's a blend.
Okay.
But we will let you know what we like at the end of the episode, how we like it.
Yep. It tastes like a melted purple popsicle.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like you went and got a cool cup and let it sit a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Mr. Smitty Spread Love.
So I go by Smitty Spread Love. I do just that. I walk around different events, underground events in Houston, and I give people my heart. I give people my heart on stages. And I drive Uber and Lyft during the daytime, and I perform for my riders.
Oh, that's
cool.
And
I give them my heart too. So yeah, I'm basically just giving people my heart every day.
That's really
so,
cool.
So what do you do art wise, performance wise?
So I'm a artist. I'm a rapper, you know. Slash, I just call myself an artist. I sing a little bit, but I don't call myself a singer.
You do the auto-tune singing?
Yeah, definitely. But it ain't like over auto-tune.
Okay,
like,
T-Pain like that show.
Yeah.
You on some T-Pain?
Not like all that. The time.
Oh, yes. You on some Drake?
On some Drake.
You on some Drake?
I'm on some Drake. But not because like my favorite artist is J. Cole, so it's like.
Isn't okay.
Yeah.
So you would rather be like on some J. Cole?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, some songs do, you know, have a similar sound and vibe to Drake, but I draw inspiration from all these artists, so it's like it'll come out because I think their music is good. Mm-hmm. I want to make good music, so
right.
Some stuff is going to sound.
Yeah, I mean, that's the energy you take in, so of course it's going to be similar going out.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing music?
This is officially like my fourth year.
Fourth year.
So yeah, my appearance has been changing as an artist and everything.
Really?
Yeah, like my hair like this. Like, this was like an artistic move.
And like the Travis Scott.
At least that's how I sold it to my wife.
Cause she, oh.
She was like, yeah, I don't like that.
What, she want you to do, get some waves back?
She wanted me to get, like, she was like, you know, it's cool, like, if it's, like, a little bit of hair on top, but she like, man, your hair.
But you're in, like, that season where you kind of have to grow, like, you're almost about to cocoon, so, like, I'm not with you.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, because, yeah. Like, after you get done with that, you're going to be like, okay, so mm-hmm. Now I feel like I'm me that I need to be right now. I've grown through whatever it is.
Exactly.
I appreciate that.
I can switch it up.
My mom was like that. My dad actually grew dreadlocks after
I was thinking about dreads, so that's what she was like, no dreads. So this was like a
compromise.
Yeah,
it's like, well, you can see how this look, and that's probably how the dreads would look. So.
So then she was like, absolutely not still.
Yeah, she said it's cool, like, when I put it into, like, a ponytail.
She
want to
see your face from
That's what it is.
You know what, my son,
I wanted to cover my face.
My son's hair is similar. to that. His is just like a little bit longer, right? But yeah, he got the sides and the back cut off. Yeah. And I like it when he pulled it back in the ponytail because I'm like, I don't have to see all that stuff. Yeah. But it looks neater in his little cute little man bun.
Yeah, or like yeah, I have a hat. Sometimes. Yeah, yeah, I do the man bun.
Man bun kind of made, like, a thing. Remember when it first came out, everybody was like, what the hell? But then everybody was like, yo, it's kind of fly, though. Mm-hmm. And everybody started wearing it.
You can, like, braid it back.
I was going to say, I could take it out and get it braided. Sandra's Braids. If y'all don't know about Sandra, Sandra's Braids.
Yeah.
Yeah, she take care of me, the wife, she done braided the kids, everything.
Oh, wow. I need Sam to take care of because I got a baby with a
She's Hispanic, but she the best braid I've ever seen in my life.
You don't have to be.
Yeah, you know don't have mean? To. You'd but be it's surprised just fire.
Who knows how to braid.
Yeah.
You know?
She cold, though.
Well, shout out to Sam.
That's the one who do Gerald Green hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, Sandra.
So, like, what made you decide 4 years ago that you wanted to pursue
make music?
Yeah.
So, I played basketball in college, which is where I met my wife at. I was working out to go pursue basketball professionally. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't feel like the risk was worth it because I would be going to a different country and I wouldn't be getting paid that much money. Because I'm not coming from, like, a Duke, North Carolina, top schools. So, it's like, do I go chase this dream to where, like, I'm making my family suffer? Because I was about to have my second kid at the time.
Yeah.
So, it's, like, way different from just having one kid. And then just it's way different from going just solo.
Right, yeah.
So, I thought about that, and I was like, man, I don't want to, like, just be chasing basketball and not have a relationship with my kids.
Yeah.
Or just like family, you know, because I had just got married before that, so it's trying to imagine being.
And that would have been a tough time for you guys.
Overseas, I'm in a whole other country, so it's like, you know.
But was basketball your dream though, or it was just like?
It was a dream.
So you was one of the little kids on the basketball court at 7 years old. Joy,
at five,
you?
I was going, like four, I started playing at four. But yeah, nah, definitely. I watched all the finals with Michael Jordan and all that when I was younger. I used to wear, like, Jordans, Iversons, everything. But the thing, how I came into music, I used to make music, you know, I'm from New Orleans, so after Hurricane Katrina, we moved back home, and everybody was staying in FEMA trailers, and the city was still developing. It wasn't really, like, too much you could do, but my parents got a laptop, like a free laptop from, you know, somebody, disaster relief. It was a Dell, I remember, and I was 14 years old, and we was living in the trailer. Matter of fact, like, I put one of the pictures up of,
Was you on that app? Was it Fruit Loops or something?
Fruity Loops.
Fruity Loops.
Yeah, I still use Fruity Loops to make beats, but back then, I was recording, like, a weird way. I had a USB microphone. Mm-hmm. It was from a PlayStation game. And I plugged that into the Dell, and I would I would play the instrumental through the headphones, and I would just record myself regular on the little recording.
And then you lay it together, right?
Yeah. See, I figured that out at a young age, but this was me. Like,
oh my god!
And I got the microphone hanging over.
Were you in the bathroom?
That's the bathroom door.
It's the bathroom door.
So yeah, basically.
Are you in the shower?
The bathroom and a shower was like a step away from each other. It was basically the same thing. It's a trailer.
In the trailer.
But we had a double wide because my Paul handicapped.
Oh, yeah, it was wide.
Because the knees.
Okay, all right.
Knees. So we got
So he was like, hold on.
Yeah, we had
it. It was like a house.
We had
the extra, it was okay.
We had the extra pop out.
Yeah.
But now it still was small.
Fuck yeah.
So when I moved back home, I was like 5'4". And then by the time it was time for us to move out the house, I grew to 5'10". So it hitting my head on the door, leaving out every time I was going to school and stuff.
Because
like
you couldn't remember?
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I'm like, oh, I forgot I got taller.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like grow randomly overnight.
But I mean, how many times you got to hit your head? Shit. Oh, wait a minute. That's why you need your wife, because your wife could
tell you. Yeah, but my pops hit his head a couple of times, too.
Did he really?
And I laughed in his face. Yeah.
So is your dad still live there, your mom and dad?
Yeah, yeah, they still live in the same house. Yeah.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, yeah. That's
does your dad drive Uber?
Nah, he retired.
Is he really?
Dude was a teacher. So, yeah, he used to teach youth study kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, I guess, I wonder if it's different out here.
What?
Like, the kids, basically it's the juvenile detention.
Oh, man.
Because I know y'all have different high schools, though. That's what kind of threw me off.
Oh, yeah. Because
they have, it's called...
It's a big city, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because...
it's like the detention center at each campus has this... each campus has like a funnel they send to the district.
The people that my dad was teaching, like, they didn't necessarily have freedom at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they go to class and then they go back to a cell.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Sad. But I guess sometimes you can make a difference in a kid's life.
Yeah, at least, never know what. Because they got out, right? They got a chance out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they're still juvenile. So it's like, you know, you're not going to be in that past. Like, yeah.
I'm going to make it better.
Yeah.
They had pillows.
No, I'm saying. I'm trying to say that it is.
For real, they're still in that thing. But...
I mean, they're comfortable, right?
Yeah,
make it better.
No, like, it's boot camp, it's still bullshit.
Yeah,
it's not juvenile, it's boot camp. They have blankets.
Like, I heard people like talking about military school, boarding school, and stuff like that. Is that stuff like.
No.
This is, man, that's crazy. I know I wouldn't want to go to one, though.
No,
I'm glad I'm with you.
She's concerned about the babies.
Yeah, I'm kind of not necessarily. I'm kind of looking at, can they get out and make a difference? Can something change? Because if they don't get out, then that's on something else. You know what I'm saying?
So what happens is, when they get out, a lot of times, it's tough,
but they're either
dead or they're back in jail. So mm-hmm. it's like either you see them again or you see them again not living.
Yeah, like I was talking to a lady today who wants to start this a company, but like we were talking about kind of, you know, mentoring young kids. And you almost need to get them like mm-hmm. before they go to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, that middle school age is really the age.
Probably so, because the technology, you might need to move it up to middle school.
You probably need to move it to almost elementary at this point with technology. But that's they're really where they make that.
Because kids are like talking about sex earlier and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Because they have the whole internet on their phones.
Yeah.
But no, I think that the reason why I say I think middle school age is because it's around that age when you start to kind of define who you are and what your likes and dislikes are, or whatever. I mean, it's not to say that it will stick, but you start to actually figure that out around that age. And I actually think that they should start doing not a personality
like
test.
Almost like a career path test.
Yes,
definitely.
Like start doing
early.
Like at middle school age, start doing
that's part of the system so they can
also see, like, you know, if I actually like this and want to do this forever, or is this just something that's right now? And either way, you can still count that towards your development and learning and whatever. Like, you don't have to have, I don't think you need, I actually think that figuring out what it is you want to do that you like that stuff is kind of more important.
It is more important.
Than, you know, knowing in 1692 what happened. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
that.
Because they train us
for these
career jobs instead of what our actual skill set really
right.
is, you know?
Right.
I honestly think you should even start with preschool kids. Get to know them. Figure out the kind of stuff they like. Figure out what kind of jobs are available to kids who like to do that or whatever. That way they have a smaller sample. It's not, you can do anything you want to do. Like, even hit all the jobs that you might be good for.
I mean, I don't know. I think that you should... It should be like a sort of indentured servitude at elementary school. So you could basically really control them and then kind of let them blossom around, you know, middle school. Like, do it like that. Because, I mean, you got to, like, stifle their spirit or whatever.
They're
going to
be behind
like, straight control, have to do everything they say or whatever. Like, you got to get it early or whatever.
So you can really get it out of your system.
And, you know, it just, like,
come to think about it.
Blossom like a flower. And, like, how allowed you to do that?
Yeah. We don't. There's not American culture or education. Like, everything we just said sounds so dystopian and great, but, like, everybody should be able to float and figure out what they, and they're like, because you could be a president, so basically learn how to be a politician or how to be cricket or whatever, whatever, go make money.
No, because we need these customer service representatives, too.
Tell you can't get on.
Man, I know, right?
Right.
Wait, did they have an accent when you were talking to them?
No, this was with American people. This was not an outsourced facility, which, I mean, I get it, but I'm like, man, come on. Because they'd be so familiar. Well, on such and such, you live on such and such avenue, right? My name is Michael. I'm like, you not. And you don't know nothing about Houston. You know, like, just stop. Stop trying to make me comfortable with you trying to collect this debt or whatever it is. So I wanted to talk about vulnerability. The reason why I wanted to talk about that is because I'm not sure if you saw, but Offset came out and said that the reason why men don't be wanting to be vulnerable is because of, like, how he was received after he interrupted her work, basically, to apologize.
Oh.
You remember?
That was a nice move on his part to come up with that.
Do you see that? You see the disconnect? Because me and Danielle are both like, what? That shit was awful.
She was like the only woman to ever, I forgot, what was the name of the event?
That's gay.
She was the only, like, rapper, woman, or whatever, to ever hit that stage or line it. I don't know, to headline it or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
At the Grammys.
And so,
No. It was another concert.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no. The rodeo.
No.
She
DJ something. It was something else.
I can't think of the name of it. It was like some festival or something.
Yes. And
she was the only black woman rapper or whatever to ever do that before. And, like, this is a pivotal moment in her career. My feelings are so important. Like, I need you to forgive me so I can go to sleep. Because I can't sleep right now.
Yeah.
That's what you gonna do. You disrupted my sleep. Like, that's really what that says. I know you out here performing and shaking your ass and shit.
Okay.
But you're still mad at me and I need this to be done.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what that
is. In front of everybody. Your biggest stage.
I was just thinking that. I was like, he probably really thought, watch what the fuck I'm finna do.
This is a big outlandish.
This shit finna be epic.
This the most vulnerable thing you could do.
That was tone deaf on his part.
And she was upset, rightfully so.
Yeah, she was. But she's still, like, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm all for the black love and everything. But she took him back, so I'm like, to a certain extent, it's like, well, it worked.
I mean, he was bothering the shit out of her, though. So... She has a child with him. You gotta do what you gotta do to keep the family together. But I don't think you should stay together
if it's toxic dysfunction.
I think if you want to stay together, you really need to be serious about working on it, because those people are gonna be someone's partner.
Yeah, to me, I just hate to see, like, the cycle being broken. It's like the pride of the two people in the relationship. And you don't get me wrong, like, you're not supposed to be with somebody just because you have kids with them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you're not with the person that you had kids with, then it's like a bad effect on the kids coming up, because they don't have two parents. Most of the time, the mother presumes, you know, the custody of the child. And they're, like, working to try to provide for the kids, so they don't really have much time to spend with them. And then after working, they still, like, need love, too, so it's like they're trying to find out.
Why can't you co-parent effectively? Because you can still spend an equal amount of time with your kids to make sure they still have two parents.
From what I hear, like, statistics-wise, because I've never been in that situation, I'm just speaking off of what I've seen, I guess that could be, like, sad on the guy's part, but most females that I know... friends with and everything like that, they say that their guys are not really good co-parents. Like, they don't...
Well, they're not.
Yeah, they don't try to see their kids as much.
Well, I think it just has to do a lot with having a wounded ego, too. Okay, well, now I lost at that. Now I got to go look at my kids. You know what I'm saying? They saw me not be successful at whatever this is or whatever, you know, keeping the unit together. But I think
if you're a part of a larger community, everybody gets what they need anyway. You know what I'm saying? So you probably would have less divorce if people had more outlets for just communication. You know, I'm not talking about romantic or sexual relationships. I'm just talking about where we can just kind of commune and say, you know, like, even just to have friends. Like, if me and Danielle just, instead of going to work every day, we go kick it and make sure that whatever vegetables being pulled or whatever. We can chat then, you know what I'm saying? We're talking. We're having a relationship there instead of these jobs that we work. You have coworkers that you like, but the shit's so stressful. Yeah. That, to me, is not a break.
I get what you're saying, because if everybody, like, you know, grew food and, like, if everybody focused on more, like, necessities and, like, other gifts outside of, like, just making money, then, yeah, we would be more
rich,
productive.
Though.
Yeah.
Because everybody would be doing. Because
to a point, it's like you wouldn't really like need money as much.
But that's how it started with.
But people got money.
Well, it started with bartering, right? Mm-hmm. And then from bartering, now that you moved from a bartering system to a financial system, mm-hmm. or whatever, because it was easier to transact, you know, and because so you start off, you know, saying, oh wait, I have one glass of white wine. Michelle has one glass of red wine. Let's trade. And just see what it tastes like.
And then
whatever.
The problem becomes like,
man, wait a minute, I want two.
My red wine better.
Well, so, of course, we still need money.
Right. Well, so it's like, I want two glasses of wine, but I only have one. What else can I give her? And then that's when you bring in, you know, money into the situation.
Well, the thing, what I'm kind of saying, though, is we still need money, but what have we learned now? We don't do bartering. People will be like, free? Nigga, what? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So what did we learn from just using money? Now we don't know how to do the shit that we need to make the shit. You know what I'm saying? So what's going to happen when, God forbid, President Trump loses his fucking mind? Or anything. Well, more.
Okay, because I'm like,
you already kind
of... Yeah, I don't know.
Like, what if something happens, we can't spend like we used to. You know, we can't access things like... You know what I'm saying?
We are in deeper debt.
Yeah, you know it's kind of weird. Well, not weird, but, you know, what I've been noticing about us and our generation, especially, like, the people around, like, the millennials and, like, the generation before the millennial. I don't know what they call the generation before millennials.
Zennials, is it? I'm
not going to lie.
But anyways, I have my principal from my high school. He did a documentary, and he talked to me during the documentary. And I was just talking to him about how, you know, I felt some type of way, you know, having, you know, I got four kids now, and I'm living, like, with my in-laws and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, it's, like, difficult. I'm like, you know, I make a good amount of money, but then it's like, you know, I can't afford to get a house on my own. My credit messed up, this and that. And he was like, man, don't be so hard on yourself. He was like, times are different these days than it was in our day. So he was like, people in my generation, the baby boomers, they might look at you like, man, you need to, like, you know, go somewhere, you know, get you this and that, because it was easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me, when he was younger, minimum wage was $5 an hour. And minimum wage today is what, like $7.50?
Yeah, it's up there. So it might even be more than that now.
Yeah, but the cost of living has changed drastically.
Yeah, too.
So he said he had an apartment. It was like a one-bedroom or whatever the case may be. But if his rent was $80 a month. So
What government assistance was he on?
I'll have to start up.
Well, get some more popsicle.
He said $80.
Yeah.
It was like 1970.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1970.
Shit, I remember too, even when I first started driving, gas was like 98 cents.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So if you make a minimum wage, $5 an hour, like,
you got studied by that?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like real life stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what my music be about too. That's why I try to, you know, drop some gems when I can.
Gem dropper. Just kidding. I was about to start. Y'all hear me playing the cymbals. I was getting ready. Danielle's gonna be like, please don't.
Let me find out.
She loves when I sing.
I just thought about that town bar. That's like where Jimmy Butler from?
Mm-hmm. His sister is a friend of mine.
That's fire. Yeah. Small world.
Yeah. Oh, you played with him then?
Nah, I ain't
know. Y'all are good friends? You know him?
Nah, but you could. It's like, when I look at it, it's like you're two people away from
Oh, the Jimmy degrees, Butler. Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. It's crazy because myself, I kind of closed the gap. Like, with the stickers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, as far as marketing goes, like, with the stickers, like, most people will remember me more than I remember them. Mm-hmm. But it's more so, like, when I'm driving Uber and Lyft, like, I'm going to run into so many different people. I'm not going to remember everybody. Yeah. But if I leave them with... If I leave them with my heart, you know, they're going to remember, like, oh, man, I remember. Or if they see the symbol out somewhere, like, they see you with that shirt, like... But that dude was my
Uber driver. Yeah. You know, I really think that whatever message you have to send, that's for everybody. The people who are supposed to receive it will.
Yeah.
So this is really great. Okay, so back to your point.
So what I was saying was my principal told me when he was, like, coming out of high school, like, you know, when he's supposed to go to college and everything, he was making minimum wage, which was $5 an hour back then. His rent at his apartment was $80 a month. So he was able to pay his rent really like 2 days, but within 3 days. So he was like, think about this. How many people do you know can pay their rent for the month after working 3 days? Mm-hmm. I was like, dang, that's deep. Because he was making minimum wage and able to do that. So I'm you got people that's making $20 an hour.
Yeah, they don't either.
Because I remember, like, $20 an hour used to be, like, a, you getting bread. But now, it's like, you know, $20 more like $50 an hour.
Now it's like, okay. So.
Yeah. So, why do you think that, because you seem to be very open and just, like, honest and, like, this is me, this is who I am. Why do you think that more men don't share that same level of vulnerability? Like, what do you think the disconnect or the problem is?
More so probably experiences, life experiences, how they come up and everything. Mm-hmm. I realize that I'm different. Mm-hmm. Coming from where I come from, too, and to think how I think, I don't know. I start to look at myself, because I'm not to toot my own horn, but, like, a lot of stuff that happened in my life, I'm blessed that it happened the way that it did. So it's like, you know, I had one of my friends, older brothers, he took us and kind of sped up our learning curve when we were younger. Mm. You know, in the moments, it was like, you know, a lot of, like, brain blast in a sense. It's like he's showing us stuff, and I'm like, dang, like, you know, this is like, we could do this, like, we could think and create with our minds and stuff like this.
Oh, so, like, taking, like, and thinking about the metaphysics and stuff.
Put us on books, like, As a Man Think It, The Secret, we watched The Secret, that we found out about the 10,000 hour rule, Law of Attraction, like, everything. He's showing us this. We were, like, 19, 20 in college, so it's like we really, like, grew up in college in that moment. Like, now we look at the world different.
Yeah.
But not everybody.
In school instead of.
That's what I was about to say. So not everybody gets that same blessing, or, you know, a lot of people still thinking systematically.
Yeah, they don't realize they can actually try to do, you know, so manifestations.
That's why a lot of, like, the killings and stuff like that, I feel like that's where it comes from. It's more so ignorance. Mm-hmm. In a sense, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I got a song on one of my mixtapes called Crown. And in the song, you know, I say, I'm Black Jesus out the Melphamine, sipping Crown Grape Communion. That a drive-by in the Calio, because I'm still beefing with Judas. So, like, I was speaking as if I was Black Jesus from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. But in the lyrics, like, I got people that listen to my music. I don't know who listen to my music at this point. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's spreading. So, these dudes, they're from the Calio Projects. So they was like, man, you know, I've been listening to your stuff. Like, man, you good. But what was this about you doing the drive-by in the Cali? So it's like, man, like, I'm thinking, I'm Smitty Spread Love. Like, I'm trying to speak.
But they're not catching it. But
It's metaphors. Mm-hmm. So to them, they're like, man, I said I did a drive-by in the Cali. So they're like, You know, but that's what I say. Like, it was just literally, in the sense of the word, like, ignorance.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't know. Yeah. So it's like, that's why if some people walk around carrying that energy, you know, of, like, really not caring about life or, like, you know, just all about getting a dollar, mm-hmm. is because they don't know.
So what do you rap about?
I rap about love in general, you know, more so like,
so you like
every
Ja Rule?
Different type of love. Love.
She's so crazy.
No. I'm like,
Ja Rule and Ashanti,
you know, Ja Rule was good.
He was. He was. 50 Cent ended his.
And then turned around and was singing.
He still make money though.
He's a promoter.
Wasn't he a part of that awful fire festival?
Yeah.
Like, he will never live that down.
No, he can't. His reputation been gone since 50 Cent.
He's an outstanding promoter.
This was like a
moment. But he still makes money, though. I respect it. But as far as, like, being respected, as far as him being respected, I respect what he does, but people just don't respect him.
I don't
respect
that, what he did.
That was whack, that fire.
People were so upset. Just reading the comments, you're like, you've got to be fucking kidding
me. They were so stupid. They were worse than that doggone abducted in plain sight video, those white people. Like,
did you believe that? And when the dad said,
I did the worst thing I could ever possibly do, I'm like,
no. Having homosexual sex is not the worst thing you could ever do. Selling your kid to this man so he can fuck you?
Yeah.
Now that is fucking bad.
That was terrible.
Man,
and the
what's
mom
going
too?
On?
Everybody's a mom.
The mom was
the
in
mom
it.
Mom was in it.
This
too.
Is like real life, though. That's not a TV show.
It was a documentary based on real events.
Girl was abducted twice.
Twice. And the first time, I had to turn it off because I was like, I can't believe this.
It was terrible.
It was really bad. And then the mom
was
having
awesome
sex with the guy too. Like basically, like, and
everybody.
There was really nothing different.
He
in
fucked
what he
the
did.
Family.
He did.
The whole family.
The
whole
mom,
family.
The dad, and the daughter. But the daughter was underage. So
but then
like,
she was like, he's in love with him too.
Yeah, it's like,
she was under this,
dang.
You know, she was in love with him too.
That's
because
a mind.
She was like Stockholm syndrome. But that's nothing different between
like,
her and
it started when she was like 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was early. Like, I mean, it was hella inappropriate.
Did it turn on?
Yeah.
No.
And.
Oh, shit.
Anyway,
that popsicle boy.
But really, there's nothing different between that and what R. Kelly does to these girls.
Mm.
That manipulation, that's the same shit.
And grooming, because, I mean, he, the guy in that, in that documentary, he groomed.
Oh. When he told her, people are coming. We gotta be ready. And she was gonna have the baby.
She was, yeah.
And that's
when
he told her that she needed to have a child.
I think that, you know, when you're young and you believe that adults know everything, you know, so, I mean, because, I mean, you don't know anything. And so it's like, you know, well, if something happens to me, I go to,
and if he's of age, you're like, oh, he know what he's talking
about.
Like,
he know what he's talking about. Like, you believe them, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see how she was captivated, you know, initially.
Yeah.
But, like, around the second time, and...
So, y'all, like, watched the interview with the two girls?
The lady was interviewing. Like, she was talking about,
Yeah, she, the one that talked to R. Kelly, but I don't
know
if it happened
yet. On Lifetime?
Yeah.
Oh, on Gail.
Yeah, Gail. And then she was supposed to talk to his two girls that's still with him.
Yeah, but I think he's shut down right now. Like, I think he's in panic mode.
Oh, so he, like, no, they're not talking.
Yeah, because there was an article that came out that said the parents were supposed to be able to meet with Joycelyn. She's still over there, right? The girl Joycelyn?
Yeah.
The parents were supposed to be able to meet with her, but he was like, no. After the Gail King thing. Like, of course. Like, he knows that he ain't shit. So, do you watch The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how the, what's his name?
Titus?
No, the man that kidnapped them. The Reverend.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
yeah,
how
yeah.
he was all freaked out
yeah.
and fucking panicking?
Yeah.
Whenever...
Do you
know what
I'm
saying?
That's how
you feel, R. Kelly. I swear to God, I picture him just acting just like the Reverend. Just like the Reverend.
That is hilarious.
Because every time you saw the video, and he was like, I don't know how to hard tell people. Like, yes, you do. You research. You probably got that shit all over your computer history.
Yeah, he probably mastered it 10,000 hours.
Exactly.
How long have you been going on? He had enough time to. 10,000 hours.
But you know what? I saw an article today too, and I shared it. But it was like a track coach was going to prison for raping like several girls under
on his team.
Hair. Yeah, you saw that. And then he got one girl pregnant. And it's like, you nasty, disgusting, dirty old man. And the thing is that we see these people. You know what I'm saying? They're everywhere.
Yeah, you pass them on the street every day.
So it's like, if you hear a rumor or you think, point them hells out. At least, like, let's look at it. Because it's our duty as adults to protect the kids. And there's only a handful of them doing it.
That was just really terrible in the R. Kelly situation. That's another situation I was just like, but these parents and these adults and everybody, like, you help facilitate this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that you have, you know, 100% guilt in that because, I mean, but you contributed to the situation. Yeah. Like, and I don't think that you can just simply deny that or write that off like, I didn't know. No, you're a whole grown-ass individual. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you fucking know better.
Yeah.
And you said you was trying to get financial gain in this situation, mm-hmm. too. Or whatever. This is like, who is that? I think Black China Mom, she basically pimped her out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, is it okay is it okay because some money involved, like you need some that, and you're basically bettering the life for your whole family or whatever, you know?
Like, you know that song Fancy by Reba? She saw her ass, girl, going on. See, you know what I mean? Like, that's what some fans
do. What is it? Tina Turner.
Yeah.
You know?
Bye, bitch. Right. You old enough to work, you got that ass.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, Tina Turner situation, like, seriously. Like, she basically sold her. You know, you need to go make this money.
Yeah.
Hey, I know he like you, and I know he's 45 years old. Right. Exactly.
And then, like, you don't even need to beat up a child. You know what I'm saying? What you doing?
Why'd you fight
this kid? You get your ass.
Are you scared? Are you fearful of your life?
You think she can go somewhere? She can go. She can't get the house. She's 17 years old.
That's crazy.
Oh, no. Unnecessary.
No.
Man.
Okay. How long have you been married? That's what I wanted to ask you.
This is 4 years.
Four years and four kids. You can't
stay out. That's crazy.
Damn.
4 years, four kids, and I've been making music for 4 years.
444.
So
Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Oh. But you know the weird thing? Jay-Z helped me realize that music was my gift.
Oh, really?
And there was one of his interviews. I never thought about it like that, but hearing him say it, he was like, well, you know, when I was young, I used to, like, beat on the table and, like, make songs all the time. Like, stuff just came to me easy. Mm-hmm. I never thought it was my gift because of that. Mm-hmm. So when I thought about it, that's part of the reason why I didn't think music was my gift. Because I'm like, yeah, I can make songs. Like, it's going to be good, like, this and that. But, I mean, everybody could do that.
You didn't necessarily believe in yourself and what you had to offer.
Yeah, I didn't believe that. Because it comes easy to me.
Yeah.
I thought everybody could just call it up that easy.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that's what the coaches would be like. I can teach you. And people be like, but I don't know how to do it. Like, you
right?
Know what I'm
it's saying? Like, okay, I know you know what 2 + 2 is, but how do you get to the other two?
Right.
And it's the way that I feel like my brain is wired, I break down everything into like metaphors, like automatically.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool.
Yeah, so it's like I'm always just thinking of stuff.
So why do you think men don't necessarily want to get married?
This day and age, social media definitely makes it harder. I ain't gonna, like, pull a social media card for everything, but most people just be like, well, you know, once I turn 30, I'm gonna get married, in a sense. But, I mean, a lot of people don't even do that. It's more so, I hear it's difficult if you don't find your significant other in college. It's like dating after college. It, like, it's so difficult because everybody's, like, working. Like, everybody's got their own life going on. So it's like you're really trying to pull two different lives together versus, like, how me and my wife met. We was in school together. So we really kind of living a similar life. We staying on campus and stuff like that. So we see each other all the time, stuff like that. But it's like, say, like, you're an accountant and, like, you be working, you get tired, this and that. But you supposed to talk to you know, somebody living like Sugarland or something.
That don't happen. That's what happens. I'm saying you just see each other.
And then that's the thing. Like, where would you meet them at? Like, other than church, like, where do you meet people?
They
like,
don't meet at church.
Okay, they scared to go to church. So you didn't listen to the episode. Okay.
Wow. The men that are at church, they deal with their wives or their girlfriends and the drag.
Yeah. Like, that's deep, though. That's
not
really deep.
They're single.
Because I never thought about that.
You've never seen, like,
I never paid attention to it. But now that y'all are saying it.
It's here and now, and can I fuck?
And if they over there at church, they're looking for some ass at their church.
Right.
Girl, he be at church. He a good dude. And really, he not.
Because whenever I have a single dude come to church, it's like overseas, and it's like, yeah. Well, she's single. It's a bunch of single women at church, but you're right.
One single dude, and he up there like, flip on the
hand. He got people fighting over him at church.
Yeah. The ones who are going to church, they know what to do. They know.
Man.
Okay, so let me see if I can find this beat. Or a beat. You found one? You on some different shit? Are you reading a book?
No, I had put a post up on Twitter asking, do men want to be husbands? And I was reading the comments. And like a couple guys said, most of the guys said yes, but they were like, to the right woman. And I'm just like, what does that have to do with anything with you being a husband? You know what I mean? Like
I won't be a husband to the wrong bitch.
Right.
Because then I'm going to be, how are you going to be? You know what I mean?
What that have to do with you being a husband and how you behave?
Like being a husband is not necessary. Like, you still have to be that, even if your wife is being an asshole.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
you're still a husband.
Right. So can you tell me how that part goes?
Okay.
Let me tell y'all an experience I had at the gas station. Okay, I'm not single, but I went to the gas station, and I already hated when people flirt with me. When I was in the gas station buying something, and
she's like, oh my God, I hated that I'm so pretty, and people like me, and want to speak to me.
I do.
Oh my God, it is annoying.
Thank you.
Oh my God, I know I am freaking beautiful.
I watched some last night.
Well, because I feel like just because I'm standing here doesn't mean that you should
just
talk
because
to
my
me.
Beauty is shining upon you.
I'm so fucking sick of you.
Y'all should watch, it's a Netflix show called Nola Darling. And
the one where she's got to have it? Or is there a different
one? Yeah, that is what that is.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah, she's got to have it. No, let's
go back in a second. Anyway, fuck you, bitch, by the way.
So.
That's what you said.
But no, like.
I said fuck you.
Me and my girl was watching it together. And she was walking down the street after she left her friend's house. And she was like, man, you know, let me know when you make it home. She's like, girl, I live down the street, this and that. And then she started walking and that dude grabbed her. And I was sitting there with my wife like, you laughing? Like, that's really how it is. I was like, damn, for real?
Yeah. Like, I was just standing there, and the dude's like, oh, you better be careful looking at your phone. This is my lunch break, so I'm trying to, like,
check
shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you gonna run into something. Can you take this big hit?
See
what I'm saying?
See, but that's the funny thing. Like, me hearing it from y'all, it's like, dog, it really be like that? Because I would never, I was married, I never used to do stuff like that. But my girl, she was like, whenever she goes somewhere by herself, like, it's like that.
You know those cartoons where the little steak be having?
Yeah, you're a walking piece of meat.
It's like, she show up at the store, a steak with high heels on. Like, yeah Foxy,
right.
And you're literally wearing sweatpants or whatever. Somebody I don't even, like, a casual acquaintance was like, you look pretty. First of all, I looked like I left the gym. But he was like, you look so
They liked it after the gym look.
Sometimes, yeah. Some chicks don't keep you looking.
Sweat. You look halfway clean. They're like the man that wanted to buy panties. You know what I'm saying? They're like, yeah, I know you got some sweat pockets up in there, girl. Okay, what do you
want to be? Say that little lemons.
Okay, so let me just go to the website of this little dude I bought.
See, that's the thing, like
beats from.
You bought some.
Well, because I have
when
a YouTube
you said
channel.
That. Oh,
and
I got
so,
you.
Well, not really. Okay, so what happened was I had a group of people that, you know, everybody was trying to work on stuff, and I was like, well, this guy, I talked to him about buying some beats, and so he told me he could cut me a little, nice deal because we were doing.
He
like
did the 3-foot.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Everybody went down, but I was like, we can do it. You know, I feel like that's how you get.
things done, kind of like.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think like about it on all levels. They say your network is your net worth. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, man, but I got four like kids.
Yeah, she doesn't.
I love people. I got four kids. I gotta love people. But just like on top of that, I'm like, man, like. Having so many kids, I definitely got to make sure my network is up there.
How has fatherhood changed you?
Oh, man. So.
Are you going to start wearing dad jeans?
Nah. I'm going to be like swag dad forever. I'm going to be like the 50-year-old dad, like they're still wearing.
With the, what are those white shoes called? U Balance?
New Balance.
New Balance. Yeah, I said U Balance.
Girl, why yesterday I was looking for
some. But they got some fire New Balance.
Oh, my though. God.
But just not the orthopedic looking one.
That's what we gonna name the show. They got some fire New Balance.
So like the super white ones.
So how did you like the wine? So I'm always a bit apprehensive about sweet red wines because I always think that it's going to be too sweet, but this one, it was not too sweet and it had a really good finish and it's a beautiful red color. Like it's really good. Big ups to Smitty for blessing us with this wine on tonight. Thank you so much. So I'll be generous today. I'll give it a 23. Like I really liked it a lot. I liked it. It was pretty good.
No, I liked it too. I really thought that it had a great sweetness about it and that it really did kind of taste like a popsicle. So that was cool. Thanks a lot, Smitty, Spread Love, for bringing the wine in here to us. And it was really good. So I think I'll give it a 25. You know, I usually don't like red, but this is a sweet red. So that's a little bit different. It had a really nice flavor to it and it wasn't too, too sweet. So I loved it. So yeah, thanks again to our guests, Smitty, Spread Love, for coming by. And Danielle.
Go out and make sure you're following us on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that stuff. Go over to our website. You can find all the links, www.betweenusgirlspodcast.com. And make sure you join our Facebook group so you can read our book with us, Ho Tactics by G.L. Lambert. Don't let the name fool you. It is full of gems. It's basically a self-help book, to be honest. That's really what it is. I mean, it's going to help you to get your confidence back in the dating game. That's what you need to do. All right, you guys. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Between Us Girls. But don't keep it a secret. Listen and share with everyone you know. See you next week.